I'd like you to turn to Mark's Gospel this morning, chapter 4. Beginning in verse 35, let's hear the word of God. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon this scriptures this morning. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate them to us, that you'll open our hearts, open our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've had opportunity lately to be thinking about this issue, this business of God's sovereignty. It's one of the central doctrines of our faith, that God is sovereign. And it's also one of the doctrines that men hate, because they don't want God to be sovereign. Men want to have a say. Men want to be equals or co-equals with God. I say, "God, you handle this part, I'll handle this other part." And when we come to the realization that God is God and that God is sovereign, it bothers us, because we're not getting input. We're not getting our say. By the same token, when we can come to the realization that God is sovereign, that all that happens is under his domain, we can actually find a place of rest. We look at the goings-on in this country as of late, and this year it seems like things have just happened so fast. You know, it was... one day we had life as usual, and it seemed as though someone just threw a switch, because immediately the stores had nothing on their shelves. Trucks apparently were not driving in and dropping things off, and people were being overcome with fear of this unknown disease. And as that starts to wind down, the next shoe drops. All of a sudden, there's this great racial unrest in the nation, and you know, it's like, what's going on here? We can't quite make it through without something new happening, without something else coming to oppress us in some way. These things happen, and it makes us tired. You get tired. You know, we think about going and putting in a day's work somewhere, and we have a natural weariness at the end of that day. But we can also become grossly weary from the stresses of the day. You know what? You could do nothing more than sit and watch a television all day long, or listen to a radio all day long of newscasts, and by the time the evening rolls around, you will be incredibly weary. You're ready to go to bed, and you haven't done anything except take all this noise into your head. It's what's going on today. Nothing wrong with getting tired. It happens. Jesus was no different in his humanity. Jesus suffered weariness. Where we pick up in our text this morning is at the end of a day of teaching. Jesus had been ministering to people, teaching them in parables. And here's a funny thing. To those who were not associated with teaching ministry, with teaching work, they don't understand that teaching is work. You see, there is a real labor in preparation. There's a real labor in the distribution of what it is that you've learned to give to other people. I knew a couple of guys, and it's not an uncommon perspective that, you know what, if you don't have calluses on your hands, you're not working. You know what, if you're not out there by the sweat of your brow, if you're not going in at night and your back is aching, you're not working. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. Jesus labored. Jesus, while he was growing, in the years that we don't have record of what Christ did, we're pretty sure he was working with his dad in the carpenter business. And he worked hard. And no doubt he got calluses on his hands and things like that. But teaching doesn't bring calluses on your fingers. Teaching brings calluses of a different sort, because you have to constantly be butting heads with opposition, with trying to place truth into minds and into hearts of folks that don't want to receive it. And so they fight you back in a different way. And so you become calloused. You develop, I believe it's what Ezekiel called a forehead of flint. And you have to labor, and you carry on. You keep doing those things. Nevertheless, doing those things make you weary. It makes you tired. And Jesus is growing tired. At the end of this day of teaching, he's flat beat. He is really whipped. And he says, when the evening had come, he said to the disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Tomorrow is another day. All the things that we've accomplished today are one thing. We've got to do it again tomorrow. Isn't that the crazy thing about life? You know, it's not like you just did it all today, but you got to get up and do it again tomorrow. Do you realize that great meal that you're going to eat today not going to last you? You're going to have to eat another one tomorrow. And if you are not talented in the culinary arts, you're going to have to depend on somebody else to do that for you, which means someone else is going to have to labor. I can boil water. And when hard pressed, I can scramble an egg. If I'm kind of lazy, I'll just let it fry. Beyond that, well, now I take it back. I can put bread in a toaster. I can do that too. So I'm good to go. McDonald's? Yes, there we go. No. You got to do it again tomorrow. Jesus is going to do it again tomorrow. He's been teaching all day. He's going to go do it again tomorrow. They're on the banks of Lake Gennesaret, which is sometimes referred to as the Sea of Galilee. And they're heading on. He wants to go to the other side of the lake, which would be the land of the Gadarenes. But we're not going to go there just yet. This lake that he's going across, what was it, like Mosquito? I mean, Mosquito Lake is, it's a good-sized lake as far as lakes go. I mean, you know, if it was in your backyard, that would probably fill you up. You wouldn't have to do any mowing if Mosquito was in your backyard. But it's not as big as Gennesaret. But how big was it? The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long. by about 7 miles wide, and at its deepest point, it's about 150 feet deep. Now, to give you some perspective, it's big, but Lake Erie is 241 miles long, it's 57 miles wide, but only at its deepest point, it's only 62 feet deep. So the Sea of Galilee is deeper, but Lake Erie is bigger. There'll be a test on that. Write it down. Gennesaret is surrounded by mountains. It's like a wall, but not completely walled. The mountains act as an insulator, so it helps keep that water warm. But there are gaps in those mountains. And what happens in those gaps is cold air blasts through. So from time to time, you know what happens when cold meets hot? Crazy things happen, man. It's like, wow, man. You know, it's like when the cold meets the hot in the air, it starts to go like swirling around and things get blown all out of proportion. And you know, next thing you know, cows are going around in the air and old ladies are driving bicycles that turn into people sitting on broomsticks. All this crazy stuff happens when the cold hits the hot and the wind starts swishing around. Well, when that hits the water, it makes for big times for guys who happen to be on the water when that occurs. If you've never seen Wizard of Oz, it's okay. Those things happen, and it tells us in verse 37 that a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. This storm, this kind of a storm, we look at storms, and we call storms tornadoes or hurricanes or cyclones. We call them all kinds of things. This storm has a name, too. It's called, if I can say it, la-elapse. It's called a la-elapse. 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 Refers to a sudden, furious, howling tempest. So when the King James tells us it was a great windstorm, he doesn't really do us justice here. This storm was so much worse than just a great windstorm. I mean, you think of a great windstorm, okay, whatever. But you think of, you know, sudden, furious, howling tempest, well, that's some serious stuff there. It's what you might consider an incredibly violent storm. Coming out of nowhere. It's not like these guys had the fancy equipment on their boats, you know, like they do now. They've got meteorological radios, you know, so they know what's all going on. They've got other kinds of electronic equipment. If you go out on a boat today, especially a charter, you go out on one of those, they got all this electronic stuff. I mean, they can tell you not only the weather, they can tell you if there's fish in the water and where the fish are and how deep they are. They can tell you all this stuff. These guys, they weren't that blessed. They didn't have that kind of equipment. And the fact of the matter is that this storm that came up might not have been all that predictable anyway. Because these things were that way. They could just show up and just as easily go away. But this lake that these guys were traveling across was more vulnerable to that kind of a storm just because of the setup of the geography, just the way the lay of the land. And it happens that those things were more, the lake was more susceptible to those kind of storms when the evening came, as the sun started to go down. And wouldn't you know, That's when Jesus wants to go across. You know, at the time where you and I might be looking for the Motel 6, Jesus is saying, let's go, let's keep moving. Let's go across the water. Let's go get ready for tomorrow's day of work. Let's take care of it tonight. As we've said quite often, the disciples' background was that of primarily professional fishermen. They were aware of the situation. They knew about being on the water. They knew about being out at that time of night. And they may have counseled Jesus. They may have said, you know, why don't we wait till morning? But there's no record of them doing that. They just said, Jesus wants to go. We're going to go. We don't do that very often. God puts a call in our lives. Jesus leads us to a certain place. And we just don't, more times than not, we're going to argue. Lord, I know that I should be doing this thing, except I can think of about 20 different reasons why I should wait. It's not convenient right now. Lord, if I were to walk away from this and go do that, you know, I still got some bills I got to pay. You know, I have contracted. I want to be a good witness. And if I don't pay my bills, that's not being a very good witness. That's coming across as a bum. And you don't want a witness out there of just another one of them preachers that just take advantage of people and don't pay his bills and there's a lot of reasons. Say, Lord, I would go and I would take care of this ministry. I would go and do that sort of thing. But you know, I still have to, a few more years. I need to pay into my Social Security. If I don't pay, I won't be able to get the full benefit that Nancy Pelosi's already spending. You just got to go. And so the disciples pile in the boat. They're out in they're heading in the lake. And the windstorm's coming up. And Jesus is tired. That part never left. Jesus was still tired. You know, he didn't get everybody in the boat and head out across the lake, and all of a sudden he was refreshed. Somebody handed him a Dr. Pepper or something, and away he went. You know, he said, no, he's still tired. And he found a pillow, good-sized pillow. You know, some of you may have those. They make pillows now that are like body length for you to cuddle with when you go to sleep at night. Each his own, man. If that's what you like, cool. But, you know, they make them. And Jesus found this big pillow. And he laid it down in the stern of the boat. Do you know what the stern of the boat is? The stern of the boat is the back of the boat. You have the stern is the back. The bow is the front. I had to look this stuff up, you know. It's not like I'm a boating genius. You got a port side and a starboard side. One's left, one's right. I don't remember which one's which at the moment. But anyway, the bow's in the front and the stern's in the back. Jesus takes a pillow, puts it in the stern of the boat, and nods off. He's done. He needs a rest. And apparently, he was so tired that when he went to sleep, it was a very sound sleep. So I know that never happens to you all, right? Y'all sleep very lightly. So when a fly, you know, buzzes across your foot, you know, it wakes you right up. And okay. You never get so exhausted that when your head hits the pillow, it's just done. Usually that's me every night. She'll say to me in the morning, she says, did you hear that siren? No. Did you hear that storm? No. I said, well, my head hit the pillow. I'm out. It's like I got hit by Rocky Balboa. It's done. It's over. That's what Jesus is doing. The disciples, on the other hand, they're just living their lives. They're doing what they'd always done, only now Jesus is on board with them. And they're heading out in the water, they're going across the thing, and this storm is coming up. There's a sense of calm because Jesus is with them at this point. I wonder, as you live your life, are you aware of the presence of Christ with you? Because He is. What did David tell us in the 139th Psalm? He said, if I'm in heaven, if I'm in hell, if I am in the uttermost part of the sea, God's with me. God's there. We cannot escape the presence of God. He is sovereign. He is over everything. We cannot escape Him. He's with us. Jesus is with these guys. And now, completely without warning, this storm hits. And this storm appears to be life-threatening. And to add insult to injury, this storm is occurring at night. When do you get most afraid? When the sun goes down. Now, there are people who are scared all the time. Walk into a store these days. And look, if you wear a mask when you go to the store, that's okay. It's cool. 6 months ago, you wouldn't have done that. Nobody was afraid to walk anywhere. And now people are afraid. And they've been made to be afraid. It's been preached to them to be afraid. And they believe the message. But nighttime, people dread the darkness. When darkness comes, when the night comes, you know, you don't see so well out there. Evil is easier hid in the dark. You don't see a lot of horror movies made where the killer is out in broad daylight. You know? It's not like I watch a bunch of them. I can't tell you the last time I saw a horror movie. It's been years and years and years. But nighttime is the right time for killers to come out. Nighttime is the right time for our minds to begin to play with us. Isn't it at nighttime when you hear noises that are always there but are just a little different right now? I heard that floor creaking. Now, it creaked during the daytime, but it really creaks at night. I'm sure I heard somebody outside. Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of people outside. Nighttime is when we get the worst of it. These guys are on a boat in the middle of a lake in a violent storm, and it's nighttime. These boats were not equipped with lights. They're out there, and they're bouncing around. They can't really see what's going on out there. They know they're being attacked. They can't see the attacker. And the disciples, good men that they were, are scared to death. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of this turmoil, someone remembers that Jesus is with them. Someone remembers that they are not alone. But what's he doing? Jesus is sleeping. You remember last week when we looked at Psalm 3? You saw how relaxed David became. David's enemies were all about him. They're trying to kill him. They're everywhere. And David says, "And I laid me down and slept. I laid down and rested because my faith is in God." This boat is being tossed all over the place. This storm is creating great havoc, not only with the boat, because the water is coming over the side, and you realize that a boat filled with water will not continue to float. And all kinds of horrible scenarios are playing out in the minds of the disciples. And somebody remembers that Jesus is there. At this very moment, they're overcome with fear. And they're dealing with unbelief. It's not uncommon for Christian people to fall into times of fear and unbelief because we still have a sin nature in us that we deal with, that we fight with. And like the man elsewhere in this book says that Jesus, "Help my unbelief." That needs to be our prayer. Lord, deliver me from this fear and help my unbelief, because I know that you're with me. But in this moment, they're not crying out for forgiveness. They're crying out in a moment of terror. In a moment of irreverence, we might even find. Because they look at Jesus asleep on the pillow and they wake him up. How are you if someone wakes you from a deep sleep? Are you just, boom, right there? Hand me a coffee, we're good to go. Right? No. Jesus is human. And he's awakened from a deep sleep by guys who are, in a sense, crazy. And they say to him, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what's happening to us here? Don't you see that the enemy is trying to kill us? And you're sleeping. Don't you care?" What What kind of a charge is that against the Almighty? Don't you care? But the truth of the matter is that Jesus does not forget his own, ever. The great shepherd is always about the business of caring for the sheep. Always. Jesus was weary, and Jesus needed a rest. But as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 121, he who keeps you will not slumber. In our hour of temptation, in our hour of trial, in our hour of overwhelming odds, we must not give in to the temptation to believe that he's deserted us. Because he will not. Jesus is with us regardless of our situation. I can't help but think of church history with a number of people who have given their lives for the faith. We read the accounts of the martyrs and we wonder, maybe you don't, I do sometimes, were I in that situation, how would I have responded? And the answer is, don't know. I only know that Christ does not forget his own. He keeps them. So even as men were led to the stake and burned, Christ was with them. And even though bodies perish, Christ is with them because the lives do not. We live forever. Fear not what men can do to your body. Fear him who can destroy the soul. Jesus awakes from his sleep. I can see him kind of just shaking his head, looking at the guys, understanding their fearfulness. But it's like, you know, this is not my end here. I'm not dying in this boat. And he looks at the waves and at the wind. And he says, in the voice of the Creator, shut up! Peace! Be still! Be quiet! How long did it take for the creation to respond to the Creator? It was instantaneous. Jesus says to the elements, be quiet, and immediately they're still. The wind stops, the waves cease, the lake becomes as glass. He looks at the guys. And they look back. And there's an understanding. Maybe not complete. But there is this understanding. There is never a moment in this life in your life that God is not in complete control. There's never a moment when God is not in complete control. The disciples, you see, they hesitated. They panicked. They had this moment of their own humanity raising up. They were not completely persuaded at this point, even after all the time that they'd spent with Christ. Their faith remained small. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid?" Why do you still have no faith? The disciples had enjoyed many experiences with Jesus. They'd seen miracles. But even in all of that, the reality of who Jesus is hadn't quite sunk in. They were hesitant. Are we so different? We can read the account. God graciously records these instances for us. And we're able to sit here in the 21st century and read these accounts of men who lived 2,000 years ago. And we may be tempted to sit and, as we read, shake our heads and say, "Boy, how could you be so dumb?" Yet we look at our own lives and understand, you know what? We've been there. And what's more, we may yet be. How would you respond this morning if the storm of a sheriff's deputy walked through the door and said, "You know what? You guys ain't distancing very well. You know what? There's more than 10 of you sitting here. How would you respond in that storm? How will you respond in the storm of this crazy notion of contact tracing, where someone you may not even realize is infected with this horrendous disease? And when they mention that they were talking to you, somebody comes knocking on your door. And they say, "You know what? You have to stay home for 2 weeks. And a matter of fact, if you only have one bathroom in your house, you have to come with us. Because we have to lock you up in a room where you're all by yourself for 2 weeks." How will you respond in that storm? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's out there. They're telling us these are things that are going to happen. If we have spineless, well, never mind, I won't go there. Let's not talk politics, right? We don't want to bring politics into this. So we won't. Ask me at lunch. Are we so different than these guys? Not really. We're human like they were human. When the storms come into our lives, we sometimes react like they react. We fear. We fight with unbelief. We forget that Jesus is with us. That he is right there beside us. Always. I want to close this morning by going back to Psalm 121. I'll just read it to you. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray.